Hello. This podcast comes to you today from Cleveland, Ohio, sponsored by Scrambling Science. Today's topic is Properties of Light. For a long time, light was thought to be a wave. The tests that were done on light showed the same characteristics of other waves, and it certainly looked continuous to the observer. As technology got more advanced, there were some observations that seemed to suggest that light also had some characteristics of particles. This wave-particle duality of light has existed for many years. We will summarize the current state of the theory at the end of the podcast, but until then, we are going to look at the wave aspect of light. First, I should tell you that there is a PowerPoint on the class website, www.scramblinged.com, which goes over this material with pictures and diagrams. Feel free to reference that in addition to this podcast. We need to go over the parts of a wave. Every wave has a certain height to it. That is called the amplitude, and the maximum height that the wave experiences is called the crest. Just like the top of the big water waves that surfers like is called the crest of the wave. The lowest point of the wave, below its midline, is called the trough. The crest of the wave can be said to have a height of positive x, and the trough of the wave can be called to be negative x. In other words, the two have the same absolute value of height. The part of the wave where it moves from a positive amplitude to a negative amplitude is called a node. A node is defined as a point of zero amplitude. Each wave is going to have a wavelength to it. The symbol for wavelength is the Greek letter lambda. The wavelength of a wave is the corresponding point of two waves that are next to each other. This can be two adjacent crests or two adjacent troughs, etc. It doesn't matter which point is chosen. The wavelength is constant for that wave. Wavelengths vary quite a bit from one type of wave to another. X-rays, for instance, have a wavelength approximately 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter, and radio waves are in the order of 10 meters long each. The frequency is the number of waves that pass by each point per second. The symbol for frequency is the Greek letter nu, and its units are waves per second, or just often per second, or seconds to the negative 1. Sometimes hertz, HZ, is used instead of per second, after a scientist that did some of the early work in this field. Since all types of electromagnetic radiation, that is, gamma rays, X-rays, visible light, UV, radio, and TV waves, amongst others, move at the same speed, which is the speed of light, there is a relationship between the length of the wave and its frequency, which we will show later. The speed of light is a constant, which might just be the most important constant in all of science. Its value is 3 times 10 to the 8th meters per second. Using this, we obtain the following formula. C equals lambda nu, or speed of light equals wavelength times frequency. Frequency has a symbol of the Greek letter nu. It looks very much like our letter V. And since the speed of light is a constant, that means that wavelength and frequency are inversely proportional to each other. When you work problems with this formula, there are two things to be aware of. The first is, you'll have to use scientific notation, so make sure that you are familiar with how to do that with your calculator. And two, watch units carefully. The speed of light is always meters per second, but wavelength is often in centimeters or nanometers or sometimes angstroms, which is an A, a capital A, with a small circle above it. It's a letter in the Swedish alphabet. It is a unit of length, the angstrom, to 10 to the negative 8th centimeters or 10 to the negative 10th meters. Those two are equivalent. You will possibly have to convert to make sure all the units match up. And a hint is, it is always easier to convert wavelength than the speed of light. Make sure that you practice working with this formula because you will be tested on it for sure. There is a PowerPoint labeled electromagnetic spectrum which you might find helpful. It is found on the class website. Now, while all this work was going on, other scientists were exploring different aspects of light. The first one that we are going to talk about was discovered by Albert Einstein, and that was the photoelectric effect. It was discovered that when light energy was shined on a bit of metal, electrons were emitted by the metal. What was even more curious about this was that this would only occur at certain light frequencies. The intensity of the light didn't matter. It was the nature of the light itself. This seemed to contradict the idea that light was a wave. About the same time, a major discovery was developed by Max Planck. He determined that light wasn't continuous, but was emitted in small packets, which he called quanta. We are familiar with the concept that matter has a smallest individual unit called an atom. And now it seemed that light has a smallest individual unit called a quanta. Imagine that you could turn a light switch on and off so fast that only one wave of light can escape from the bulb. This would be his quanta. Further work by Planck produced a formula to calculate the energy of light based on its frequency. That formula is E equals h nu, or energy equals Planck's constant, that was the h, times nu, or frequency. Planck's constant, symbol h, is a very small number. It is 6.63 times 10 to the negative 34th joule seconds. The unit is joules times seconds, not joules divided by seconds. A joule is a unit of energy similar in idea to a calorie. So now we can do even more calculations. If we know the frequency of the light, we could calculate the energy associated with it. We already know that X-rays have more energy than visible light, and now we could show it mathematically. Do the two calculations. Given that the frequency of X-rays is about 10 to the 18th hertz, and the frequency of visible light is about 10 to the 14th hertz, pause the podcast and solve for the associated energies using Planck's equation. You should have gotten the following. For X-rays, the energy is 6.63 times 10 to the negative 16th joules. And for visible light, it is 6.63 times 10 to the negative 20 joules. We see that X-rays have 10,000 times more energy than the visible light. We could also combine this with our first formula, speed of light equals lambda nu. So if we were given a wavelength, we could use that formula to get the frequency and then plug that value into Planck's formula, E equals h nu, to get the energy from the wavelength. Einstein used the term photon to describe these small particles of light, and each photon has a quantum of energy. All you Star Trek fans have heard of photon torpedoes, so now you know that the word photon is a real word dealing with energy. At the beginning of the podcast, we said we would summarize the current thinking about the wave-particle duality of light. Depending on the experiment being performed, light can appear to be a wave or a particle. With the energy of a single quanta to be on the order of 10 to the negative 34 joules, that is very small to be differentiated by normal means. It is much smaller than a billionth of a billionth of a billionth of a joule. Perhaps the best way to think about this is to get a mental image is to think of light being composed of many small photons that are so close together that they can't be looked at separately. These minuscule photons merge together to form what appears to form waves of light. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast and found it entertaining and educational and helped you with your understanding of properties of light. Remember, you can get more information on this topic from the class website, or you can always send me a note on either Facebook or via email. Refer back to this podcast when needed, courtesy of Scrambling Science.